All right, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. I want to show you how God works. In God's workings, it seems that, well, we know that he started way back there. He started way back from the very beginning. And he had us, as the old song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. But it even goes back farther than that. God knew from the very beginning. He talks about the elect and those who were chosen. Well, some people today believe that there's the elect of God and he's elected who's going to be saved and he knows who's going to go to hell. Well, yeah, he does. But if he elected some and said, well, I'm going to leave you out, but I elected you, so you're going to be saved for sure. Well, that would take away our free moral agency, or our, you know, we're all free moral agents, and it would take away our decision. You know, we have our own choice to make. He says, choose. You got life and you got death. Choose life. So it's our choice. We invite the Lord to come live with us. Jesus, you know, made it very clear in the book of John so many times. So I don't teach the elect. Now, I believe that God knew exactly. You know, it's not his will that any man should perish, that all should have eternal life. That's what he wants. He wants everybody to have eternal life. Do they? No. Is everybody healed? No. Are many healed? Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you right now, it is his will, but he looked down through the eons of time and said, I know what they're going to do. They're going to walk with me a while. They'll go away, but they'll come back. Others are going to go away, and they're not going to get back. They're going to die in their sin. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you can read it. It's very clear on that. Some died without receiving the promise. Why? They chose to die. As some live by faith, some die by faith. Now, I don't want to confuse you here, but I'm just saying we still have a choice to serve the Lord. And he knew from the very beginning. So let's look back 400 years before Jesus was born. So let's go all the way back there and hear what the prophet Malachi says. And Jesus was actually speaking to Malachi. And I've always found these first few words here of Malachi chapter 3 very fascinating. But I think we need to go here tonight for whatever reason, maybe to encourage you that you've been praying about something for a long time and you've held on to it. You're beginning to wonder, does God even know about this? Does he remember that through his word he spoke that to me or through a dream? I want to tell you, just keep on serving. Just keep on doing your duty. Just keep on, keep on, keep on believing. All right, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi 3, 1. Behold, Jesus speaking, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. Not just anybody said that. Malachi didn't say it. Elijah didn't say it. Jesus said it. Now, who is he talking about when he says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me? Who's he talking about? John. Exactly. John was a messenger. John was Jesus's cousin. And so John, see how God works. John had to be born first so he could prepare the way for the Lord. And so all of this has, everything that pertains to us, everything that pertains to life, everything that pertains to the nations, even the presidents and the emperors and the kings and the queens and the people of God, it's all lined out. Even the people of the world. Jesus said, I've got people that are not of this fold that should be and will be. They're not yet, so you guys, we better pay attention. There's people out there that should be in this very fold right here at Landmark. There's other sheep that should be over at Believer's fold. Others that should be over at North Point. Others, they should be down at the Nazarene. But there's all kinds of sheep out here. So be careful who you meet during the week, because it may be one of those that belong in this house with us. They want what we have. They want our kind of worship. They love our kind of people. The personality that's in this house, the word that goes forth from the pulpit, it will all fit for them. And let me just say, weren't you excited to see our older brother Sunday morning? I don't know how old Bill Jackson is, but weren't you excited to see Bill Jackson give his heart to the Lord? Oh my goodness, that just thrilled me. I've just been feasting on that all week long. And so I was excited about that. I also want to say, before I go farther, I want to welcome tonight David and Abigail tonight. They're with us, and we bless you guys. Thank you for being here with us. So let's go back to the word. Jesus, and I'm sending a messenger before you, of course. That's John. And what did Jesus say about John? In the New Testament, maybe I'll show it to you in a bit. Jesus said, John is the greatest man who ever lived. He will turn the hearts of families to each other. He will turn the heart of a dad to a son to a dad. He will turn the heart of a mother to her daughter. He will just turn hearts to God. So 400 years before it ever happened, and you know the story. After these 400 years, after you look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, that's it. That's all of the Old Testament. I mean, it's over, it's closed, it's done. And then when you get to this part, I love it that they left two blank pages between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because there were no more words spoken. There were no more prophecies. There was not a prophet speaking anything. Many have called it, and we all call it this, the silent years. It was silent years. No word, no prophecies. Nothing went forth during that 400 years. Well, what happened then? After the 400 years is when the angel went down to the city of Nazareth and talked to a little virgin named Mary. Okay, so he goes to Nazareth. Didn't go to Bethlehem. Well, Jesus isn't going to be born in Nazareth. Why did he go down there and get her? There wasn't even any roads. How can they get down there? Well, Caesar Augustus made the demand, hey, you guys need to come all the way down to Bethlehem and pay your taxes, and we will be building some byways along the way. Not roads like we have now, but they got it together just in time for everybody to go pay their taxes. Why? So Mary and Joseph could get down there. So there's certain things that have to happen in our lives and in your family's life to make things begin to pop. So I want you to go over, I hope you didn't miss that, because not only did he say the messenger is coming, but he said, I am too. I better not leave that out. Let me read that again. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, you've been looking for this Messiah. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Oh, behold, he is coming, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, he said, I just got to tell you, he's still coming. Well, that was a long ways off. 400 years and not another word. How many of you have ever had a promise come out of the Bible to you, or you heard it through a sermon, and it was like a rhema word, it jumped off the page and into your heart, and you knew that was for you. You knew it. You didn't need a prophet to tell you. You heard something in your spirit. You had a dream. And there it was. You knew that belongs to me. And then you didn't hear another word about it. God told Moses, you're going to lead those people through. And you're going to take them over to the promised land. And that was it. Moses didn't hear another word about it. For a long time, things just began to work one day after the other. Day after day after day. So keep on doing what you're doing, but I do want to show you the words of Luke. Okay, so let's go over to Luke. So Luke says, well, you know, I'm going to let others tell the story of what they think happened, but let me share with you my way. And so we're going to go before the birth of Jesus and pick up the words that we just read. Pick up the words that we just read over there in Malachi. So Jesus talked about John, and John was going to be, you know, the carrier of salvation. He baptized people. And John, all he said is the Messiah is coming. He's coming. He's going to be on time. His salvation is here. You need to be baptized. Be saved in the name of Jesus. What was John's word? Repent, 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 repent. Over and over. And he was kind of weird. You know, the clothes he wore was camel's hair. And then he ate bees and honey. He was just kind of weird. And he lived out in the wilderness and nobody wanted to be near him. But when the anointing came on him, everybody came around him to get baptized. I'm telling you, the anointing changes everything. And so Luke begins to talk about it because he wants us to know that God is right on time. So look at this, Luke chapter 1. Let's just look at verse 5. I'd love to read those first four verses, but I think I'll just go to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, somebody say Herod. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest. His name was Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. These two old folks were just absolutely blameless. Verse 7, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. In other words, it was his turn. The lot finally fell to him. And when it says that he was of the tribe of Abijah, or the division of Abijah, these priests only got to go into, not the holiest place, but in the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, I mean, not the Holy of Holies. They got to go in there, and they would take care of the lamp. They took care of the table of showbread, and they took care of the altar of incense. So they had to keep that lamp burning, had to keep the bread fresh, had to keep incense going up before God, just before the holiest place where God dwelt on the Ark of the Covenant. So the lot fell to him. Okay, it's his turn. Now, you read it with me. You saw that they were very advanced in years. Verse 7 says they had no children. Elizabeth was barren. Not only were they too old, she was barren. She couldn't have children. She never had had children. Because she was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was, look at this, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, the lot fell to him to burn incense. He went into the temple, and look at this, and the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense because they knew they were getting ready to get their sins forgiven, because the high priest Aaron would go on into the holiest place. They would offer the sacrifices and do all they had to do. Look at verse 11. Please get this. Underline this. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So tonight, God knows that I'm standing right here before this little plexiglass podium, and I'm standing right in the center of it. And he knows that you all are sitting on the right side of the sanctuary. And he knows that you all are sitting in the center, and you all are on the left side. And Brother Kenny, he knows you're sitting over by the door. Now, isn't it something to think that you've been praying about something for years and years, and you've never seen any difference on that one thing? I can't, you know, who can figure it out? Sometimes you pray about something and it happens while you're yet speaking. You're like, oh my goodness, God, you're so good. That happened just like that. And it was like a major miracle. Sometimes it was a little thing, but it happened quickly. And then this other thing, it's like the heavens are brass. You've been praying for so long. And then you begin to feel, well, God, it must not be your will. I don't know. You're just holding that back from me. You're withholding. That's never going to, I don't even know. I'm just giving up. I'm not even praying about it anymore. Well, don't do that. Would it be something if he says, well, you know, I see the de Leon sitting on the one, two, the fourth row back at Landmark Christian Center on Wednesday night. They came out in the heat and they went to church. They came seeking me first. And I saw Ted DeLeon, you've been praying about that for many years. Tonight, it is done before you. And that's what he did. It said it was his turn. His turn to serve in the temple. But the angel of the Lord knew right where he was. Listen to me. The angel of the Lord knew exactly where he was standing, where he was. He was on the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, oh, don't be afraid, Zacharias. Look at this. Look at this. Underline it. For your prayer is heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Now, that is the word that happened way back there with Malachi 400 years before. And everybody knew that there was going to be a messenger come before the Messiah. Can you imagine these old folks thinking way past years? There were so many Pharisees that were so much smarter and wiser and more intelligent in the Old Testament law that this angel could have gone to. So many richer people. I mean, look at Herod. Herod, it mentioned him way up there. Herod was a very famous king. He was so famous. And he built this temple. It took him years and years and years to build it. And it compared to nothing. I mean, it was just so awesome. But God didn't go to Herod. I mean, look, you don't even hear about him again. You won't see him mentioned again. But Luke said, but no, he was the one that was in charge when, you know, in the days that Jesus was born. And so here you've got now John finally coming through 400 years. But I'll tell you, when God speaks, when God says it's going to happen, church, you may as well write it down. It's just plain old going to happen. There's some promises that he made to young men. There's promises he made to the older women. To the young women, he said, you'll prophesy. Handmaidens will prophesy in the last day. He said, the young men, you would be a pattern. And other young men would want to look after you because they desire to be like you because of the Jesus in you. They would use you as a pattern. He talked about so many distinctions between us and the world. And so he says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife's going to bear you a son. You're going to call his name John. I'm sure he thought, there's no way. No way this could be the John. And so then the angel says, oh, you're going to have great joy. Many will rejoice. And look, verse 15, and he'll be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even from his mother's womb, he will be filled with the Spirit as a little fetus, as a little embryo. He will be filled in his mother's womb. And verse 16, and he will turn the hearts of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. God would get him, use him to reconcile so many to him and bring people to him. Well, this was just so powerful. And so it's probably bigger than, you know, we can look at this. Oh, we're on this side of it and say, oh, what was wrong with that priest? How come he couldn't receive it? Well, it was very big. And not only did God give them a son, to have Jesus say this about your son, Jesus said, John is the greatest man who ever lived. Not only did he give them a son, but he gave them the greatest man who ever lived. He doesn't halfway do things. Okay, so he says, your wife's barren, and the angel says, verse 17, he will, and the angel still speaking, he'll also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, which Malachi mentioned, actually, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people. To make ready a people. Somebody say, I'm the people. See, we're the people. All down through time, we are the people. And he made them ready. And then when John was beheaded, we just saw it on, what's the name of that movie that's Chosen? Did you see that fifth season? Oh, my goodness. It was all about John. And when I guess that's what sprung this up within me. But after he lost his head, after he was martyred, then his message still went on. And Jesus went away and he sent the Holy Spirit to us to do the same work through us that John did. And now you and I are the messengers to prepare the way for others, because Jesus is soon to return. So now it's up to you and me, not John. So when Malachi was talking about the messenger, or Jesus was talking about the messenger that would go and prepare the way of the Lord, now that has to do, hallelujah, with you and me. Now, after, look at this, verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, Dude, listen, you cannot say that Gabriel got angry. I'm sure he didn't. He probably didn't get mad. He probably didn't get disgusted and yell or whatever. But Gabriel he was astounded. Verse 19, I am the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. He doesn't explain. He just made his announcement. And now, if that was us today, we would say, you have got to be kidding. I am an angel. I've been in the presence of the Lord, and you want to doubt my word? No, this was a cool angel. You know why he's cool? Because he's still in the presence of the Lord. He says, no, I was in the presence of the Lord, and who stands in the presence of the Lord, and I was sent to speak this to you. But then he goes into the next verse, and Zechariah probably really wishes he hadn't said that now, according to verse 20. But behold, this cool angel says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, you all know that you and I go through a lot of things. Man, we've been through trials and stuff that nobody knows but you sometimes. Your family may know, and sometimes only you know. But God says, when I have a promise to you, and when I say something to you about you, and I make you a promise, it will be fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled in its own time, in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. I mean, he's now spent. He's like, I can't even leave the presence of the Lord now. I was right here before Gabriel. I mean, he was in the presence of the Lord. Now he came over here to the right side of the altar. I mean, I'm on the right side. And this angel comes and knows right where I'm standing. And he talks to me. I don't know what he did, but it says he couldn't leave the temple. So he may have just stayed in there and cried his eyes out. Or he prayed and said, God, forgive me, please. Don't take my mouth. Don't take my words. Let me speak, please. I don't know. But it was an ounce of judgment that God said, no, I need to teach you a lesson. That when I speak, you'll listen. Behold, you'll be mute and you'll not speak. But verse 21, and the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and he remained speechless. So he's given them sign language. Like, go home. You know, I'm coming out of the temple. I've done all my work. Now I'm going home. And so they waited, and he remained speechless, the Bible says. They thought he had seen a vision. Verse 23, so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. He just kept on working. He kept on working. And after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived, just like God said she would, but it had to be in God's time, 9 months later. And she hid herself for 5 months, saying, the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach. All right. Now, this is a busy angel, because 6 months later, he goes down to Nazareth and does the same thing to little Mary. Some say she was 14. Some say she was 16. I don't know if anyone really knows. But there she was. And he goes down there, tells this little girl, she's not even married, you're going to have a baby. Okay? Why would he go to somebody that's too old, got a barren womb, and now he goes to a little virgin girl who's not married, and he says, you're going to have a child? Both were absolutely, incredibly impossible. I mean, it just wasn't going to happen. It was unknown to man. But the angel has said, oh, no, it will happen. And sure enough, it did. But when that happened, Mary said, how can this happen? I don't know a man. I'm not married to any man. I don't know. But it happened. He said, because God will plant that baby, that seed in you. And then she said, let it be to me according to your word. So I just want to say tonight, just, you know, if you've had a promise and it's way out there, and maybe your trial, your fire, your stuff was just so messed up, it was so crazy, you can't even see how in the world God could untangle that horrible mess. How's he going to untangle it? That's none of our business. All we have to know is if God said it, that settles it. I mean, that's it. It just settles it. So he says he was righteous in God's eyes. And when God says, you're righteous in my eyes, you're holy in my eyes, don't judge. You let God be the judge. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm just glad that he chose them. I'm glad that he chose the impossible. I think the reason he did, he just said, because I want you to see me. I want you to see my hand. And I think, again, church, and my thoughts, probably your thoughts too, that the reason everything in this world is, it seems as though it's getting darker and darker and darker and crazier. And you're thinking, how in the world can it get any crazier? I think it was Lynn that told me last night that she heard that our governor wants to charge everyone in California 30 cents a mile. Did you all hear that? 30 cents a mile to drive. Okay, I don't want to doubt you, Lynn, but I thought, now I haven't heard that anywhere. But now everybody's saying it. Okay, I believe your word. But how? Where does that come from, folks? Yeah, it has to come from hell. Because normal human beings like us, we don't think these crazy thoughts. Why would you do things to hurt your whole state, to hurt your nation, to hurt your family, to hurt your grandchildren, your children? We want the best. We want the best. And so, Lord, the only thing that we can look at is you said when darkness covers the earth in Isaiah 60, when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness gets on the people, your glory will be seen on us. So, Lord, we praise you for that. When is your glory coming? When it's the darkest on earth and gross darkness covers the people. So, Lord, we want to come into your presence. We've been in your presence now this night, but we just want to sit with you for a few minutes. And, Father, if you have something to say to us, as Paul said to you, say on. Say on. I pray that you spoke to someone here tonight that's been praying, that the angel of the Lord will come to them this at this hour and say your prayer has been heard. Maybe you already spoke that. Only you know how to speak. I don't know how to do it. But maybe you said to someone your prayer has been heard and it'll come in its time. Maintain. Keep doing your duties. Keep serving. Keep doing what you know to do. Come in my presence, and Gabriel will come to your house in Jesus' name. Amen. No matter how old, it just does not matter who we are. He's a God who loves us. Come on and let's seek the Lord tonight. Would you just come into his presence? Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence in this room. I want to thank you for your mighty word. Where would we be without the word of God? Sometimes I feel so sorry for the Old Testament people and for those in the beginning of the early church. They didn't have the Bible to hold in their hands. Somebody had to tell them about it from the temple now and then. But Lord, we can hold it. We can see it. We can feel it. It speaks to our hearts just like it spoke tonight. So again, thank you so much for the word of God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Now let me bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance toward you, and give you peace in your home, your mind, your heart, your money, your family. In Jesus' name, amen.